To Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. This morning I want to talk to us about living intentionally. Living intentionally, living with intention, intentionally living in the choices that we make in this new year. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. The Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Father, again, we thank you for this morning, and thank you, Father, for the songs that we can sing. We do look forward to seeing you one day, Father, where our faith becomes sight as we behold your face for the first time. Thank you, Father, for all the things you do for us, Lord. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that resides in every born-again believer, guiding them through this life, Lord, helping them, Lord, to study the scriptures, helping us, Lord, to be reminded to lean upon the Lord, not upon our own understanding. And, Father, many times the Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulder and says, "Look up, thy Redeemer draweth nigh." And, Father, many times, Lord, throughout the week, we need to be encouraged that we're on the winning side. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter if it seems like the devil has the upper hand. Jesus Christ has all power, and he has won the victory. And, Father, the devil's time is very short. And, Father, our time is very short as well. Lord, life is but a vapor. Lord, help us to learn how to number our days so that, Father, we will live our lives completely for you, doing everything we do heartily as unto the Lord, knowing, Father, that you are worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. And, Father, the only reason why we can rejoice is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, would you bless the children in junior church? Open up their hearts and minds to the teaching of your word. I pray, Father, you do the same for us this morning. We do want Christ to be lifted up in our lives, as John the Baptist said. He must increase, but we must decrease. I pray, Father, in this new year, Christ would be glorified in our lives, that he would increase. His ways would be increased in our life. And, Father, we would remain in the center of your will, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, this morning, I want to talk to us about living intentionally making right decisions, right choices in this new year that will help us to draw closer to the Lord. It will help us to remain in the center of God's will. And we will see the blessings of the Lord throughout this year. And our faith will grow. Our relationship will become stronger with the Lord. I want to read a poem to you from a missionary by the name of C.T. Studd. You might be familiar with that name, C.T. Studd. And you might be familiar with a phrase that people often quote from his poem, and that is, "Only one life to live." All right, only one life to live. And here's what his poem says. "Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That truly should be our mindset for this new year. I know it's probably been your mindset every year since the day that you received Christ as your Savior, as it has been mine. But over the years, we failed at different times. But aren't you glad that God is so full of grace, that His grace is sufficient? But every year that we start, really every day, it should be in our heart that today could be my last day. Everything I do today, I want it to be for the glory of God. Everything I do, every choice I make, I want it to be in the center of God's will. And you can know the will of God for your life. Doesn't matter who's in your life not living for the Lord. Doesn't matter what trials that you've gone through, what burdens you've bore over the years. What matters now is that you give it all to the Lord. You cast your cares upon Him and you say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus. As the Lord told him, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He thought he was doing God's service. He thought he was on the Lord's side, but he was against the Lord, and the Lord helped to turn him around. And after the Lord spoke to him, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He gave his life to the Lord, and every day of his life, from that moment till the moment his life was taken, he chose to follow the Lord wherever the Lord led, always relying upon the Lord, always gathering his strength from the Lord, always choosing to trust God instead of his own understanding. And that truly is what we need to do, or what we do need to do for this new year, is to not only trust the Lord, as we talked about last Sunday, continue trusting the Lord, continue following the Lord, but continue making right choices as you're led by the Lord, letting the Holy Spirit guide you. Don't be quick to make decisions this year without seeking God first. It may seem right, it may seem obvious, the choice you need to make, but still seek the Lord, because the Lord knows all. He knows what's on the other side of that decision, what's on the other side of that choice. So we want to continue relying upon the Lord and continue having in our hearts and our minds that I only have one life to do it right. I can't do it right in and of myself, but with the Lord's help, I can do it right, because what I want to do right is bring honor and glory to the Lord with the life that He's redeemed, with the life that He's changed, with the life that He has put His Holy Spirit in. I want the Lord to be magnified more than anything, and that is a daily mindset. It's not just, okay, it's not a New Year's resolution. It is a daily mindset. Lord, help me today. I can't change yesterday. I can't change last year. Lord, help me today to walk in your will. Help me to walk in the center of your will, making right choices that will benefit me spiritually and also bring honor and glory to you. So several things I want us to see in these verses this morning. He says in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walking circumspectly, being aware, not just of your surroundings, but be aware of the spiritualness around you, the spirituality. Be aware that, you know what, again, today could be my last day. Most people do not wake up with that mindset that today could be my last day. If you're faced with health issues, yes, then it's on your mind that, you know what, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to wake up today. Lord, if it's your will I live through today, help me to accomplish your will. Again, when life is going easy and there seems to be no trials, no
no burdens or anything, death is the furthest thing away from someone's mind. It's the furthest thing. And for the child of God, the born-again believer, the Christian, meeting God is the furthest thing away from their mind as we just go through life, because, again, we're focused on life. We're focused on what we have to accomplish today, but we've always got to keep in the back of our mind, really the forefront of my mind, that today could be the day the Lord calls me home. Whether it's the rapture, whether it's a car wreck, whether it's a health issue, because again, we're not invincible. We're not going to live forever in this body. The Lord's going to change this body. I'm looking forward to that, right? Most people are looking forward to, you know what, not having to wear glasses anymore, whatever metal you may have in your body, it not being there, whatever health issues, it's gone, all right? But again, having that heart that looks at today and says, Lord, today, help me to live in the center of your will. Help me, Lord, to be an instrument in your hands that you can use, a vessel that you can fill, a person that you can shine through to be a help and a blessing to somebody else. He says in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The first thing I want us to think about is just the priority of right choices. Having the priority of making right choices every day, because time is short. Most of us in here, probably all of us in here, adults, understand you can't get tomorrow, yesterday back. Whatever opportunities I missed last year, I can't go back and redo them. I can't go back and get them. I can't go back and accomplish what I didn't accomplish. I put something off, put it off, I'll do it tomorrow. And then finally, you know what, you just no longer have the opportunity to accomplish what you wanted to. Time is short, and sometimes we do forget that. The prosperity of this world blinds the minds of people thinking, you know what, I'm going to live till I'm 100. I'm going to live, a long life. You know what, I'll think about the things of God when I'm old. Time is short. No one is guaranteed their next breath. No one's guaranteed the next day. I'm not preaching a gloomy message. I just want us to be reminded that life is short. Time is short. And whatever minutes in life that God has given us, he wants us to take a full advantage of those minutes that he's given us. Take full advantage of those minutes and redeem the time. Redeem the time. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The time will come when you and I can no longer live our life for the Lord. We can no longer follow his leading in our life. We'll be with him in eternity, but there'll be no more opportunities to do what he's already given us the opportunities to do. There'll be no more time. Time will end. And he says, because the days are evil. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And yes, the days are full of wickedness, they're full of sin and all of that, but the days are evil in the fact that you don't know what each day entails for you. You don't know what's going to happen each day in your life. You and I have plans, but we need to understand things happen. Car wrecks happen. Heart attacks happen. Health issues happen. As long as our heart is breathing and we have lungs, we have breath, we have air in our lungs, we need to make a conscious decision and effort every day to live for the Lord. You got coworkers. I have coworkers. You have family members. I have family members that are lost. Every day is an opportunity while we're around them to shine for Christ and give them a reason to ask of the hope that lies within us, that they would hear our speech. And you know what? I need what you have. You have something I need in my life. Again, God wants us to be aware that time is short and that, yes, the days are evil. There are, as the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, evil men seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All right? Each day is full of its trials and troubles, but each day is full of so many opportunities. And just as C.T. Studd just had that mindset, he understood only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The joys of life, the pleasures of life, the things that we do with family and friends, all of that is good. But the most important thing is what we do with Christ. What we do with the decisions, with the opportunities that the Lord brings our way. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You know what? That is the greatest reward, is abiding with Christ. Abiding with Christ now, abiding with Christ in eternity. But that's the reward that you and I receive, is abiding with Christ. And as somebody once pointed out, the fact that the other option of not obeying the Lord, not choosing the ways of the Lord, is disobedience. And none of us would rightly say, well, I plan on disobeying the Lord. I want to see how much I can rebel against the Lord this year. But when we do not put God first in our life, when we do not seek Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, in a sense we are disobeying, in a sense we're leaving Him out of our life and out of the choices that we make. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That is God's desire for all of us, is that we would continue to live in His will, continue to seek His will. Don't let other people rob you of the joy of the Lord, or rob you of the quality time you have with Christ. Don't let situations rob you of the opportunity of letting God magnify Himself in those moments. Don't allow the devil to cause your heart to become cold and callous to God's will in your life and what God wants to do in your life and how God wants you to draw closer to Him. Somebody once said that we all have the power of choice, but once we make the choice, it has power over us. We all have the power of choice, but once we make the choice, it has power over us. Making those right choices, seeking God on a daily basis. And when you look back at verse 15 and 16, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The Lord gives us the way to make right choices. I mean, He lays it out. I mean, again, it's having the right mindset. It's really looking at life through the lens of Scripture, looking at life through the eyes of Christ, even asking the Lord, "Lord, open mine eyes, help me to see what you want me to see." And we must find and function in the will of God. Outside of His will, we will be weak, frustrated, and ineffective. But in the center of His will, just like Paul, we will have grace that is sufficient. And we are to look to the Scriptures. It is the number one thing that the devil fights against. It's the number one thing the devil wants out of our hearts, out of our minds, out of our hands, is the Word of God. I've had so many people in my lifetime say, "Don't tell me to read the Bible. I need real help. I need real counsel. I can't help anybody outside of God's Word." Because God's Word shows us the way of salvation, and God's Word shows us how to have a successful life. That is why God told Joshua, the only way you're going to have success going into the promised land is if you don't neglect my word. Don't just read it. God tells him, meditate upon it. Now, hopefully this year, I mean, back on the back table, we have, there's a little, I'll call it a track, but it's got the reading schedule that you can read through the Bible in a whole year. And it gives you, you know, how to read the Bible through in a whole year. And we ought to do that. But more than just read the Bible, we've got to think about what we're reading. We've got to ask God, "God, open my eyes and mind. Help me to see how this applies to me. Help me, Lord, to see what it is you want me to do in this moment, this week, this day of my life. Lord, I want to draw closer to you. I want to know what it is you love in my life and what it is you hate in my life. I want to know what it is that's keeping me from drawing closer to you. I want to know what it is that maybe I keep falling back to, something that keeps hindering me, something I feel like I can't get victory over, yet the Lord's given me victory over it. Again, we are to look to the scriptures in making right choices. Again, you know Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. God's word shows us where we're at in our life and where he wants us to go. In verse 9 of the same chapter, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. In verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And it's not that you don't know this, but again, sometimes we fall into just the routine of reading scripture because it's what we always do. Again, I wasn't able to print out bulletins this morning, but you already know the routine of the service. We sing a song, pastor prays, we sing a song, then he announces any announcements, then there's a piano special, then we sing a song, he dismisses for junior church, he preaches, then he prays, we sing another song, and we dismiss. I mean, we don't need a bulletin other than what songs are we singing, right? We don't want that to be with our relationship with God. We don't want the routine to be we always make decisions and choices without seeking God's help. Now, there are times where you have to make a split-second decision. You don't have time to spend, 30 minutes in prayer. But even Nehemiah breathed a prayer when the king asked him, why is your countenance sad? What are you troubled about? And the Bible says that he sighed a prayer. What was his prayer? I don't know. Many times mine is just, Lord, help me. Lord, help me know what to say. Help me know what to do. But he gives us those opportunities to seek him. He truly wants us to hide his word in our heart. So it's the word of God that is guiding us and directing us and not our opinions, not what we think is best. Because when we lean upon our own understanding, we will find ourselves not being helped with the Lord, because the Lord doesn't fight with us. He doesn't push his way into our choices, our decisions, our life. Just like the church at Laodicea, he stands at the door and knocks, just waiting for someone to open up, just waiting for someone to invite him in, waiting for someone to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, here's my life. Here's my choices, my decisions. I want you, Lord, to be in complete control. We always need to be ready, though, to surrender. Surrender to the Lord's will. Again, someone may say, well, I don't know what God's will is in this situation. You've got to seek him with all of your heart. Not with him, not seeking him to do what you want. I've heard people say, well, if God doesn't want me to do it, he'll stop me. That's not how God works. God will let you and me do what we want, to find out later it was the wrong thing. The prodigal son was allowed to leave. He was given his inheritance. That's what he wanted. He wanted to leave, and he was allowed. And the father waited for him to come back home. And when he saw him afar off, the father ran to him. Our Heavenly Father does the same with us. He doesn't force us to do what's right, doesn't force us to walk with him, doesn't force us to seek him. He waits and hopes that we will choose to seek him with a pure heart, choose to walk with him, choose to fellowship with him, choose to surrender our life to him. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind is always having to be transform, because we live in this world. If you watch TV, you see the commercials. I remember as a kid growing up, the commercials of Sprite, Obey Your Thirst, Nike, Just Do It. I mean, right? And these sayings, these phrases get into people's minds and it transfers over into their spiritual walk of, oh, just do what I think is right and just obey my own thirst, and all of this. I mean, just the corruption of the world, the philosophy of the world creeps in at different times. And that's why we need to wash our hearts and minds with the Word of God so we're not following the philosophies of the world, but we're following the truth of God's Word. And we are surrendering ourselves. Lord, I belong to you. When was the last time you told the Lord that, what's your will? What do you want me to do? I belong to you. It should be, and for me as well, it should be a daily practice that we say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I know that I'm supposed to go to work, but Lord, what would you have me to do at work besides the job I'm being paid to do? Who is it that you want me to influence for Christ and befriend and try to share Christ with them and try to be a help with them? And the Lord shows us people that he wants us to influence for Christ and wants us to befriend and wants us to try to help, because there are people that need help. There are people that need a friend. They need to know somebody cares, because people in their own life don't care, and they need to know somebody cares, as somebody wants to be a help to them. And sometimes as we surrender our life and surrender ourselves to the Lord, we have to be willing to suffer at different times, to know that sometimes in this year there'll be some suffering, there'll be some hardship, but it's often the Lord's way of sanctifying us and purifying us through the trial. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. In 1 Peter 4, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. You mean it's God's will that somebody suffer? But it's not because he hates you. It's because God may be trying to draw you to him. Because I know in my own life at different times there have been some hardships that God has had to allow to wake me up, to get my attention, to draw me back to him. And then there are times where God allows the hardships, like he did in Joseph's life, because God needed to get Joseph down to Egypt to become the second in command under Pharaoh to be able to save the lives of Jacob and the rest of the family, as well as others during that time. And he allowed the evil deed and the wicked heart of his brothers to be used to get Joseph where God wanted him. I'm saying we've got to even have the mindset, Lord, I know at times there'll be difficulties and you'll use it for my good. You'll use it for your glory. You'll use it to accomplish your will. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse 24 and 25. Sometimes you and I may suffer because of the choice we make, the right choice that we make. In Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know the account that the Bible gives of Moses. Moses being born of Jochebed during the time that Pharaoh had commanded all the midwives that when you're helping an Israelite woman, you're helping a Hebrew woman, and you see it's a son, abort it, kill it. But there were two midwives that feared God and would not do it, And they were questioned by Pharaoh, and they lied and said, well, Hebrew women are not like the Egyptians' women. I mean, before when we come in, they've already had the baby. I mean, they're quick at delivery. And God blessed them, not because they lied to Pharaoh, but because they feared God and they would not kill any baby. But Pharaoh caused all the sons, all the baby boys, to be cast into the Nile River. But Jochebed, she hid her son until she could no longer hide him, until it was becoming difficult to hide him. She trusted God. She made a little ark out of bulrushes, dabbed it with slime and all that, put Moses, the baby, in it, had Miriam take the baby down to the Nile River, put him in, and leave him. Pharaoh's daughter comes to the river. She sees this little ark, this little basket over in the reeds, and tells one of her maidens to go and fetch it. Brought it back, and when Pharaoh's daughter looked in and saw baby Moses, she had compassion. Her heart was smitten with his cry. And she took him as her own son and raised him. But do you realize that when you read Scripture, Moses knew those slaves were his brothers, were his brethren, were his kin. He knew those were his people, because when he sees one of the taskmasters beating a Hebrew man, he kills the taskmaster. I'm saying, you read on verse 25 of Hebrews 11. Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You realize Moses could have turned a blind eye and just, you know what? God can probably use me more if I just remain in Pharaoh's family, if I just remain one of them. But Moses' heart wouldn't let him. I mean, he kept being drawn to his people because God was drawing him to the wilderness. God used what Moses did. Moses committed murder, and then he ran for his life when he knew Pharaoh had found out. And God had him on the backside of the desert for 40 years, preparing him to go back to Egypt. Even our mistakes, God can use. He'll use our mistakes. It's not an excuse to make mistakes and to choose to make mistakes and to choose to do something wrong and just, you know, kind of count on the grace of God and, well, God will use it for good. No, but he chose to leave the riches of Egypt. He chose to leave the pleasures of sin, and he did suffer for that choice. What I'm saying is sometimes you may suffer because you make the wrong choice. Sometimes you and I will suffer because we make the right choice. But we have to, again, surrender our life to the Lord. It's up to the Lord what he wants to do in our life and how he wants to use us. But we have to make those choices every day that I'm going to do what I'm going to do today heartily as unto the Lord. Even if nobody else does, I'm going to, because you know what? I am grateful enough for what he's done for me. I'm grateful that he has laid down his life for me, shed his blood for my sin. He has put his Holy Spirit inside of me. He has given me a life to live for him. And I want this year to count more than last year. Lord, help me to have that mindset that I only have one life to live and only one life to live it for Christ. Everything I do, I want it to bring honor and glory to you. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at the result of making a right choice. Now, verse 17 just says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is he wants to do something in your life, in my life. And the result of right choices is being in the center of God's will. That's the result of making a right choice, is I know I'm in the center of God's will. Whatever happens will happen according to God's will. And I know that if I make that choice of following the Lord, make that choice of letting God have full control, I'll have his protection. His protection will be upon me. He won't let me be destroyed because I'm in the center of his will. Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Sometimes you and I may have to seek counsel from somebody else, just another brother or sister in Christ, and say, hey, you know what? This is going on in my life, and I just, what do you think about this? I'm thinking about doing this. Get counsel. All right, there's nothing wrong with that. But make sure it's somebody of the same faith. Make sure it is a saved person, right? I mean, you wouldn't go to a lost person, you wouldn't go to an atheist and say, hey, you think God wants me to? They'd be like, no, God doesn't want you to do that because there is no God. I mean, you understand. A lot of people get their counsel off Facebook, off social media. It's like, no, counsel comes from the Lord. And we can get counsel from one another, those that are walking with the Lord. What am I saying? The right choices. Again, if you and I decide to follow the Lord this year, we have the guarantee of his protection. I didn't say the guarantee of no problems. We have the guarantee of his protection. The guarantee of his protection. And the fact we'll also have God's purpose fulfilling in our choices. In Psalm 37, verse 4, the Bible tells us, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Many people have wrongly taken that verse and applied it to their life, and, oh, God will give you the desires of whatever you desire, God will give it. Not true. Not true. God wants our desires to match up with his desires. And as we surrender our life and our decisions and choices to him, as we allow him to have his way with us, our heart will be cultivated by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit will be cultivated in our heart. We will truly be seeking God's desire, whether it's for a job, whether it's for moving, whether it's whatever it is. If we truly desire the Lord and seek the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and we just let the Lord, Lord, I want you to be magnified in my life. If you truly saturate your mind and heart with the Word of God, your heart is always, and my heart is always, going to be seeking God's will and what God wants. Again, as we study the church at Laodicea in Sunday school, remember, they shut Jesus out. They had no desire for the things of God because they were self-satisfied. They had everything they wanted. Jesus mentions that, you know what? You have your wealth, you have your clothes, everything you desire, you have. And they had no room for Christ. Again, many will say, well, the Lord knows my heart. Yeah, he does. We don't even know our own heart. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the Lord knows it. I'm just saying that as the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord. As you and I delight ourselves more in the Lord, our desires are going to line up more with his desires, and therefore he'll give us the desires of our heart because we'll be seeking his will. We'll be seeking his desire in our life. Again, listen, I understand that the devil will always bring somebody to your mind that is supposed to be a Christian who's not living for Christ and say, well, they don't seem to be having any problems and they're not living for the Lord. You're right. I've met many of them that aren't having any problems. I already told you in Sunday school, well, I had someone call me up and say, let me tell you how God's just blessing my business and I'm not going to church or anything. It's like, God's not blessing your business. The devil of this world, he can bless, he can give riches, because he wants to keep people blind. But God has given you, if you are born again, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, he's given you of his Holy Spirit so that you're not blind, so you're not walking in darkness. You can know the will of God for your life. You can walk in his ways. You can fulfill His will in your life, and you can have a heart that desires the things of God. Somebody once said, when we are what God wants us to be, He is in control and our will is merged with His will. And He therefore gives us the desires He has planted in our hearts. The desires that He's planted in our hearts. But not only do we see the protection God gives and the purpose He lays out, but you and I experience the peace of God when we make those right choices. Peace in following God's word, because the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Even if it doesn't seem to be working out the way you think, you've got peace on the inside because you know you gave it to the Lord. You know that, I know that God's leading me. It's not working out the way I think. Joseph had peace in his life, even though, you know what, his father loved him, made him a coat of many colors. His brothers hated him, so much so they threw him into an empty pit. Then they take him up. They sell him into slavery. He ends up being a slave in Potiphar's house. Later ends up being a prisoner in jail. But he had peace all along the way because he had that firm relationship with God. He was grounded and rooted in his relationship with God. He knew that God was going to do something in his life because God had given him a couple of dreams. And he understood that God was going to do something. He didn't know how. He didn't know when. But you read the scripture, he kept a good attitude because everywhere he went, God blessed him. And others saw that he was blessed by God, that the hand of God was upon him. Even though he was mistreated, even though he was lied about. And yet, guess what? God's purpose is fulfilled, is it not? Joseph ends up being the second in command. What I'm saying is, listen, God wants to fulfill something in your life this year. Are you willing to let Him fulfill it? Then you have to every day make the choice, God's in control. Lord, guide my steps according to Your will. Help me, Lord, not to make rash decisions. Help me, Lord, to be in the center of Your will. Help, Lord, my mindset to always be of You, that no matter what happens, even if I have to make a split-second decision, I've already been asking Your guidance, and You bring to my mind what it is I need to do. Sometimes you may have somebody that you like to talk to. You try to call them and call them and call them. They're not answering the phone. You're like, I need to talk to them. You ever been there? And you get a little upset. It's like, they're supposed to be there when I need them. And the Lord sits high and lifted upon His throne and just looks at us like, I'm here. I'm always ready to hear from you. And I already have the answer. You and I have that peace on the inside knowing that our Heavenly Father does have the answer. And He's always there, ready to help. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We have peace in following God's word, and you and I have peace in accepting God's gift of salvation. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I don't have to have or live panic lives like other people. You and I truly have the peace of God in our hearts, but is it ruling our hearts? Are we allowing the peace of God to guide us and direct us? Are we allowing ourselves to make those right choices based on God's will? And God's will is for us to seek Him daily. God's will is to let Him have His way with us. Yes, God's given us a life to live, but the life He's given us to live is to be a life that glorifies Him, a life that magnifies Christ, a life that shines forth to others that say, you know what, I may disagree with them, but I can sure tell they love their God and their God loves them. Because that's what was said of Peter and the others. They were seen as ignorant men, but they took knowledge they'd been with Jesus. It doesn't matter what people think. What matters is, what does the Lord think? Am I walking in unison with Him? Or am I walking contrary to Him? Am I living intentionally? Intentionally lifting up Christ in my life. Intentionally making decisions that will bring him glory. It's not about me being patted on the back. It's about him being glorified. Some people do live with intention when they wake up in the morning. They are intentionally going to work to make money because they want a good retirement. They want to get the next promotion. They want to get the pay raise. Some parents, some mothers wake up in the mornings with the intention of taking care of their kids, fulfilling their needs. I mean, there's things that we wake up in the morning with the intentions to do. But the greatest intention in our life that we are to live with is the fact that my life belongs to the Lord. I want him to be magnified because when he calls me home, I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want him to be pleased with what I've done with the life he's given me. I can't change the mistakes that I made, but I can sure ask for forgiveness and ask the Lord, help me not to do that again. Help me just to rely upon you. Help me to live my life for you because I want to be able to cast some crowns at your feet. I want to be able to enter in to your presence without any shame, without any guilt. Because we've all been there where we kind of felt guilty we didn't do what we should have done, or we did what we shouldn't have done, right?